About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. And if you just pray once more with me, Lord, thank you for this text that we just read. Thank you for your word, for your Holy Scripture, Lord. And we ask today that we would understand what's meant by these words, Lord, and that we would be able to live them out with all joy. We thank you and we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You ever watch one of those shows where they show you the scene and then they go, a couple days earlier, they put those words on the screen, they go back in time. Right? Right? That's what we're going to do here today. We're doing that right now. Going back in time. Just a little bit. I just want to give you the background of this before we do, but just picture it like this. There was this controversy in early Christianity where people were saying, you have to become a Jew to be a Christian. You have to follow the law and you have to get circumcised. And there was this great controversy that was settled by the Jerusalem Council in and around Acts 15 there. And basically the ruling was, no, you don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian. You need Christ. You don't need circumcision. You don't need the law, but you need Christ. And so when the time came to take that out and to spread that around to all the different churches that had started and had been growing and had come into existence, Paul and Barnabas wanted to go on a second missionary journey, but they actually split company over whether to take along with them John Mark. And maybe, hopefully you remember that. And so they had a difference of opinion about whether or not this young guy, John Mark, who had abandoned them on the first missionary journey, he quit, he left, whether it would be good to take him or not. And Barnabas wanted to take him, Paul didn't, and so they split company. Barnabas took John Mark and they went to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches, is what the Bible says that they did. Now, when they were doing this, Paul met and was joined with a disciple named Timothy. This is in Lystra. They continued together now to travel to churches, bringing to these churches the decision of the Jerusalem Council. And it says in Acts that these churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. So God was using them in this journey and what they were doing and what was happening. Now, they had some ideas about places they wanted to go, but it says that the Holy Spirit prevented them from going to certain places, for instance, into Asia and into Bithynia. And around this time, Paul had a vision at night. A man of Macedonia. And that, if you don't know, that's southeastern Europe, or it's north Greece would be another way to think about that. He had this vision of this man calling to him, "Come over here. Help us. Help us." Paul had that vision. And when he woke, he concluded that that was the Lord's call. And the reason why he didn't want him to go to Asia and then to Bithynia is that he wanted him to go to Macedonia. So they went to Macedonia. They soon made it to a Roman colony called Philippi. And for those of you who don't know, actually a lot of the people that lived there were retired military. They were retired soldiers in the Roman Empire. And we have a lot of that here, and a lot of us are from families that have been in the military, retired from the military. Now, when they were there, they looked for a place where people would gather and pray. They were looking for a place of prayer. At the place of prayer, they met and they preached the gospel to somebody who was a worshiper of God already, named Lydia. So she knew about God, but she didn't know everything that she needed to know. But she worshiped God. And she was there and she was praying to God. But what she didn't really probably know and understand was the gospel. And she didn't know about Jesus and what he did on the cross. And so he came and they preached that to her. And this is what it says in Acts. It says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul and Silas were saying. The Lord opened her heart. And that's what God does to any of us. Like, I'm standing here and I'm talking to you about some stuff. And I put the title on the board, what must I do to be saved? And these are, according to the Bible and my understanding, these are the most significant, important things. And you possibly could be sitting here just completely numb to it all. Or God could open your heart to how significant these things are. And how important. And say, like, you know what? I got to pay attention to this. This applies to me. Personally. I need to know this. I need to know, you know, what must I do to be saved? And so it says that God opened her heart. And I do believe that we need God to open our hearts for us to hear the gospel, for us to hear the good news. And God did this. She and her whole household came to the Lord and were baptized, it says. And she's a pretty influential person, too. And had a lot of resources, and she helped them, and she supported them. Well, sometime after that, doesn't say exactly how long, Paul and his companions went back to this place of prayer, and they were probably going regularly. It could have been the next week, it could have been some weeks later, they maybe were gathering there and worshiping together. They met this certain slave girl. And this slave girl had a spirit of divination, meaning she is possessed by a demon that told the future to people, and when people heard that, they would pay a lot of money to get their fortune told. So she was a fortune teller, slave, that was owned by some people, and they used her to make money. And so they met this girl, and she kept following them around. And she's following them all over the place. And when she follows them around, what she does is she starts telling the truth about some things, about who they are and why they're there. But, you know, sometimes God has like a plan for like how he wants things done. He doesn't maybe want people to just come and share everything about it. So she was following around saying that they were there and that they were there representing God and that they were there to tell them about how to be saved. But the way she was saying it, she was just like putting it on blast and following them around and not letting them do what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. She was kind of just injecting herself into it. It's like this. The demons, they, when you looked at it in the Bible, they knew who Jesus was, didn't they? And they knew what the truth was. And sometimes they acknowledged it, but you remember, think back to Jesus, he'd be like, not now. This will come out when I want it to come out, how I want it to come out. I don't need you to be my hype man. Kind of how I think about it a little bit. So she's doing this, she's going on and on. And this is like one of the verses I like in the Bible. Paul got greatly annoyed. That's what it says in the ESV. He got greatly annoyed. He had a Christian annoyance there. Amen. And he turned to her and he cast the demon out of her. Amen. At that point. Now, this is where the problem started, though. Because the people that were her owners, as she was a slave, the owners, they said, now we can't make any money. Can't make any money off her. So they were upset. So they went and they drugged Paul and Silas down to the magistrates. And they started accusing him and Silas. And they started making these stories about what they were teaching and what they were doing. And they started getting all the people all excited. And a mob formed. And the mob started beating Paul and Silas. This is a rough day, huh? Rough day. Remember, we're going back in time. We're looking at what happened in the rough day that they had. Trials, difficulties. The mob started beating them. And so the magistrates took them out of the mob and they said, okay. They stripped them and they beat them some more with rods. And then they threw them into prison. And now we're back to where we are. And maybe some hours have passed or something, but we're back to the present time as you think about what we were reading. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. You see, this ought to strike us. After a rough day like that, where they're trying to serve the Lord and share the gospel, and they're being greatly annoyed by this girl, and they do, he casts the demon out of her. And then they're falsely accused, and they're beaten by a mob, and then they're beaten by the magistrates, and they're stripped and beaten, I should say, is what it says. And they're thrown in jail. What are they doing? They are praying, and they are singing songs to God. I could stop right here. Would I be doing that on a day like that? Would I be praying to God and singing songs and worshiping Him? It's a question I have for myself. Perhaps it was also done out of necessity. They've been knocked down to such a weak, low point where they saw their need for God so much that they knew this is what they needed to do. That they sung to God. Because, see, I don't know about you. How often do you sing to God? I mean, we pray to God probably. That might come a little more natural to a lot of us. We pray and we talk to God. And I'm sure we don't do that enough. We need to do that more. We need to learn to do that more. We need to grow in that. Talk to God. A lot of times we actually probably didn't get to that point. We'd be sitting there solving the problem by ourselves. We might be angry. How many of you would be angry right now if this had happened to you? How many of you would be thinking, how are we going to get out of here? I want out of here. How many of you might think, you know, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have served the Lord in this way. Now I'm being punished. Now, most of you guys are saying, no, I would never say that. But we could be fighting that in our flesh, knowing that you stepped out for the Lord to serve the Lord, and then all the forces of mankind came down against you, and now you're locked in jail. And that's the situation that they were in. And I think so many of us would be questioning ourselves. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have left that girl alone. But that wasn't what Paul and Silas were doing. They were praying to God. They knew that they couldn't figure it out themselves. They couldn't solve the problem themselves. They prayed to God. And they lifted it up to God. But I think I get that. It's harder for me to get to singing. Honestly, like I'm praying there, God, please help me get out of this. I'd be thinking and churning in my brain. But they are singing songs to God at midnight in prison. Doesn't that blow you away? And I thought about this for a moment, a long number of moments I want to talk about for a moment, but songs. If you're locked in prison and you need to sing some songs to God, what songs are you going to sing? Yeah. Hannah says, open prison's door, sets those captives free. Perfect. That's a great song for it. And I'll just tell you my thought process on it. And I actually kind of did get to that one, I think. My thought process is something like this. And it's where we have to be a little careful. Like, well, when you think about the songs we sing and we got to have the music, we got to have the band, and we got to have this, and maybe we got to put on YouTube, or we got to put in, you know, pop on our iPod or something like this. But all that stuff is okay. But I'm saying, do you got some songs, very biblical songs in your head that are ready to go, that are on cue? You don't need any music, you don't need any leader, you don't need anybody else around. You and God, you can sing those worship songs to God all by yourself. Do you have them? And I hope you do. I'm just saying that I think we do. And I think it's sometimes a little more challenging than we think. And would you be willing to get together with another Christian, just two of you? That's where maybe it gets even harder, because when it's just you in your shower by yourself, you know, you're Mac Powell, you know, you're something like that, you know. Because I kind of think my voice sounds like Mac Powell, personally. I was thinking, it's this one guy, his voice sounds a little bit like mine. That's what I kind of think, it's a little bit like that. But nobody else agrees with me on that. I can't find a single human being that agrees with me on that. And if you don't know who that is, it's fine. He's just a good singer, I think. So, but if you were in prison with just one other person, Would you guys just be kind of sitting there looking at each other and being angry or maybe sulking or something? Would you together worship God together? Would you be willing to sing a song with one other person and do that? And what song would you sing? And you probably have to, hey, I can kind of picture what was going on. Hey, remember this one? Let's sing this one. And they know this one and they sing it. And I think for me, in my thought process about this, the best kind of songs to have ready like this are those that come right out of the Bible. You sing songs right out of the Bible. So like for an example of that, like I would think would come from Psalm 51 would be a real good one that I would think. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. You know that one? Who's brave? Who's brave? How about we sing that together? Okay, help me out though. Okay, ready? Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Come on, sing with us. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. Now you know I don't really sound like Mac Powell. But I think of songs like that one that come just really right out of Scripture. I have for me, I like the Scripture melody that Keith Green put together, where it's the one that he's... I have him, actually wrote him down. See if I have him here exactly for you. Somewhere. This is the day. That comes from Psalm 118:24. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Now, I'm getting choked up here just you guys singing with me. But partly it's a vulnerability thing. Me even having a mic on with my voice as I'm up here. And I actually probably can hold it together better than this normally. Okay, but in that same set he had, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Okay, he had, we want to sing it. He has, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, we can sing it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Clap your hands, all you people. So that's from Psalm 47:1. And then, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. John 7:38. So those are some songs that I like there. I think the doxology is a really good one as you think about it. Something like Amazing Grace. Rich Mullins has a few songs that are like the Apostles' Creed that he sings. And you guys ever remember this one called Our God is an Awesome God? That's a good one. You want to sing it, don't you? All right, we'll do it. Put me on the spot, okay? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. But the problem is, when you sing "Our God is an awesome God," like at camp or somewhere like that, you sing it, it could sometimes become the never-ending song. You don't know when to cut it off, you know. I will say also, if you really want to enjoy that song, learn all the words in between. Learn the words in between "Our God is an awesome God," and it's really fun. Me and Sarah sing that like a lot of times on the way to church and things like that. We'll sing that. We've got our different songs. One of our other songs we always have liked to sing is "Pharaoh, Pharaoh." Do you remember that one? "Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh baby, let my people go." Anyhow. I think one sometimes that comes to mind for me is here that we sing regularly is that one that we sing. We want to see Jesus lifted high. Right? We want to see Jesus lifted high. Don't make me sing by myself. Come on. You know this one? You know, help me, Janelle. Help me. We want to see Jesus lifted high. I see Jesus lifted high, the banner that flies across this land. Solomon may see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high. Okay, now some of you are never coming back to this church after this. I've been thinking hard about this, though. Why I'm saying this is that it's not about us having a good voice or being able to sing. Or being particularly like musical or something, which I'm not. You could tell now. That's why I'm literally crying because it's so hard for me to be singing to you with the mic on up here. You know, my voice is not even helping me at all. I mean, I need to be in the shower doing this and it would sound a lot better. That would be really... Okay, well, yeah, I could go, yeah. So, but my point is not that I could sing or you could sing or that we could sing great. It's that we have a song in our hearts. That we sing to God. And sometimes in the lowest moment, that's when you need to sing. And maybe some part of why they were singing was out of necessity yet. How hard of a moment that they've come out of. That they are singing to God and pouring out their hearts to God at that time. And I think it should be something I think would be really helpful for us that when we're not in that low moment, that we sing and we worship God. And that's part of what we do together here. But I think also I'm making this argument to you that you need to be able to do it by yourself. You need to be able to do it without the radio or the MP3 player. And for me, it's got to be kind of really simple. I've got to have those kind of simple songs, and they need to be real biblical, I think, is what would be the ideal thing that we want, you know. So these guys were praying, and they're singing hymns to God. And it says the prisoners were listening to them. Of course they were, because that was different, wasn't it? It'd be very different that someone is there singing and praising God in jail there. So I would say, I don't want to make a big deal of this, but it's not always in this case what it's for, but there are people watching. There are people observing. There are people that see your worship for the Lord. I'm not saying you have to put on a concert or something like that or do this, but I'm just saying that by the way you live your life, people are watching. So the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. This was a miraculous earthquake. Because I don't really know of any earthquakes that would do this. That they would just unlock all the doors and all the bonds would come off the prisoners. So this was God working. God doing something amazing. God freeing them in that way. It says, when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. He had personal responsibility for these prisoners. If they got away, his life was on the line and he'd be killed. And he knew that, and so he was just going to do it at that point. Because he was afraid of what would happen. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And that's kind of maybe the second miracle. Second miracle is that the prisoners didn't flee and run away. And maybe it's because they were listening to what Paul was saying. And they were listening to the prayers and they were listening to the song. And maybe it had made a difference in them. Or maybe it was just God's Spirit just keeping them there. I don't know, but under what was happening, and maybe they were just in so awe and terrified by what happened too. They didn't have time to run away. But Paul said, don't do it. Don't harm yourself. For we are all here. And so, says the jailer, called for the lights and rushed in, and he was trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Right? And that is the greatest question that any of us could ever ask. If you think about it. And it's maybe the greatest moment in life if God truly brings you to the point where you realize that you need to be saved and you want to know how you can be saved. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Now let's think about what they didn't say. They didn't say, well, you know, live a good life, go to church, you know, read your Bible a lot. They didn't say, be a nicer person, do more good deeds. Okay? They didn't say to do these things, even though he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Trust Jesus. He says, and you'll be saved. And here's how I take this, where he says, you'll be saved, you and your household. Ask me, what must I do to be saved? Go ahead and ask me. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And it's the same deal for your whole household. They're not going to get saved because you believe, but if they believe, they'll be saved. Everyone. What about our church? If someone say, okay, Heath, okay, what are you saying? I'm saying, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved. You and your church, you know, they could say that to me too. Like, I need to believe and you need to believe. We need to believe to be saved. So we're not saved because someone else is saved. We're saved because we are now. Here's the way, like, as you interpret it and you try to understand what's written, you take the whole Bible into account, and what the Bible teaches us is that each person needs to respond to Jesus in faith. We don't have like some kind of delegate there that does it for us and then we get saved because, oh, they just happen to be our parents. And my parents were Christians, so I'm... No, it's between us and God. It's between you and God. Each individual person. And so he's saying that's the same promise. That promise that's there for that Philippian jailer applied to him, and it applied to his family, and it applies to you, and it applies to me, and it applies to every single person on the face of this earth. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. That's the promise. That's the promise. So it's not a matter of what you do. You never earn your way. You can't earn your way. Amen. If we were to try that, the good things we did would just be like filthy rags. They would not amount to anything, and we would still deserve to be separated from God. And just to further back that up, verse 32 says, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. So when he saw that, okay, listen to what happened. This is amazing. He took them to his house, or brought the people to his house. He brought them together and he said, you got to hear this and you got to hear what happened. And you got to hear how we can be saved. Because you need to be saved too. And so Paul and Silas, they spoke the gospel not only to that Philippian jailer, they spoke it to everyone in his house. To everyone that was in his household. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized. At once, he and his family. So here's the way I understand that. They spoke the gospel to them. They believed. They were all baptized, the whole family there. And even when you think about his household, could have been more than just like his family. His people that lived in his household, he maybe had servants, different things. They all came to the Lord. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And I love this verse. Listen, this is so special. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. He understood what happened. He was so exceedingly joyful that he realized that he started the day not believing in God, and he ended the day believing in God. Isn't that special? If you think about it. So as we go through this and we think about it, and we think about application here for this. Going back to the beginning part. No worries about the babies at all, by the way. I just powered through any babies crying. It's not a problem at all, okay? Have no concern about it whatsoever. Okay, yep, we're good. We're good to go. Don't worry about it. And all you guys don't worry about it either. Okay, so as you think about that part when they were in prison and they were worshiping and they were praising God and they were praying to Him, they could have been all down in their circumstance like so many of us would be. But instead, they were turning to God. They were worshiping God. And so, for my first point in the application here is that our worship is greater than our circumstances. It must be. Worship must be greater than our circumstances. We are going to go through some very challenging and difficult circumstances. We can continue to worship God and continue to pray to Him and continue to sing to Him. In fact, we need it then more than ever. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Next, I want to think about this. May our lives be so occupied with Jesus that we pray and we sing to God in every type of situation. No matter what the situation is, we are praying and we are singing to God. We don't turn that off. And that's something that we do personally with ourselves. We do that personally. And then I think we should remember what we read here. Remember this. Remember when Paul says, don't harm yourself. We are all here. Remember that one, that part? How could you forget it? We just talked about it. But I kind of feel like when I read that and I hear that, that's what God calls out to each and every one of us. Don't harm yourself anymore. When we are pursuing the world and the things of the world, we may not know it, but we're harming ourselves. We're causing great harm to ourselves and to those around us. And even sometimes, and I know people too, that get to the point where they're at such a low point that they really do want to bring harm to themselves. Maybe even kill themselves and end it all. And God's calling out, don't harm yourself. It's okay. Look, that situation you thought was so unescapable, like he thought all the prisoners had got away and he had to kill himself. He said, no, they're all still here. And God is calling out to each and every one of us, don't harm yourself. It's okay. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. Don't harm yourself. And believe me, if we are running after the world, we're harming ourselves. And remember the jailer? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And I hope there's not a single one of you here that doesn't think about that, that's here today. If you don't know Jesus, that's the question you need to ask. What must I do to be saved? And He gives the answer for that in here. The answer is given in the Word. Remember what it wasn't, but remember what it was. And remember what Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. It's the same promise for your household as it is for you, and it's the same promise for everybody. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And remember, they preached the Word. So we see this. It's the preaching of the Word, the preaching of the Gospel. It's hearing. It's believing. It's being saved. When I go through the baptism class and stuff with people, as I go through it, I'm always pointing that out. It's believer's baptism. You get the Word preached to you. You hear it. You believe it. You receive it. And then you get baptized as a result of that. That's baptism we see in the Bible. That's biblical baptism. It's a believer's baptism. And so that's what Paul and Silas did. And then, remember, we saw that the jailer and his family were baptized. They were all baptized there. Now, last thing I want to do and close here, and we get to do something just like this today and celebrate just like this today with Bill. Isn't this amazing? Before we do that, though, I just want to pose this to you. If you have faith in Jesus, if you're here today and you have faith in Jesus, you believe in Jesus, and I put myself in that, can you just take a moment and rejoice and give thanks to God that there was a day that you came to believe in Jesus? Amen. And if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, I'd invite you to believe in Jesus today. invite you to believe in Jesus today. You don't have to go on any great journey or anything like that. You just say yes to Jesus right now. I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I needed a Savior. And I believe in the answer to that question. There's only one thing that I could ever do, which is to put my faith in you. And if I were to get to heaven and God were to say, you know, why should I let you into heaven? I could never claim my record, and I better not say anything else other than because of Jesus. Amen. And what He did on the cross for me. And how He came out of the grave. And remember, Jesus rose again, and He's in heaven preparing a place for us. And guess what? He says He's coming back. Amen? So it's faith and it's belief in Him. And so I want to invite you to have that faith and believe in Him today. But if you have that already, isn't that an awesome thing? If you truly have it, you wouldn't trade it for anything else in the world. And you can have joy that, man, I'm the changed person. I came to believe in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right. What an exciting thing. So let me pray. And then, like I said, you guys are going to sing a song after the song. Bill will come up and then we'll have the baptism after that. So you're going to sing a couple songs here and celebrate and worship together. But please join me in prayer as we pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful account of what happened in Philippi, Lord. And we just thank you for the answers that are given in this passage, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity to know that what we need is we need faith in you and we need to believe in you. And thank you that you've done all that needs to be done, Lord. And I thank you for the fact that there are so many here who have that faith in you. I pray you'll grow our faith, that you'll shape us. If there are any here who are trying to figure that out, I pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts to more and more understanding and even to have somebody come alongside and help them to understand today. And then I also thank you for baptism and the chance to baptize Bill today, but also all of us who've had a moment in our lives where we have publicly confessed that we want to be identified with you, Jesus. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. Now let's sing and worship with all our hearts. And parents, please go get your kids and bring them back in.